In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
I give you the great example of Oprah, Madam Oprah. She should have quit when she finished The Color Purple, because then she was a great person. She acted well. And what happened? She went into witchcraft. That's what she does. She's into witchcraft now, the poor lady. She who sang in the choir and who loved the Lord now has gone another way. And the compromise did not start in a minute. The compromise started a little at a time. Here a little, there a little, everywhere a little, little. So Madam Oprah now is the billionaire that has lost her soul unless she repents. This is real. And she has such an ability to draw people. You know, she's one of the evangelists of the world. She says things that everybody listens to her. And now she's got on her website Mariana Michelson on the Course in Miracles, which is witchcraft. You know, this is reality. But it didn't start with witchcraft. It was a little compromise here and a little compromise there. They didn't go all the way back to Haran. They didn't go all the way back to Egypt. They just went a little way. You know, they just turned back a little way. As I said, that the Jewish people, when they were griping to Moses, wanted to go all the way back to Egypt. You see, Oprah didn't go all the way back to Egypt at the beginning. She just turned around and started walking toward Egypt, until finally she gets to Egypt. She's in Cairo now. You see, this is the way it starts. I had a young seminarian come to me many years ago when I was a young priest. And he was in the seminary, and he said to me, "Father Tom, I want your guidance. What could you tell me? What could you tell me that'll keep me on the road?" I said, "John, don't compromise. Don't compromise with anyone. You compromise, you've got nothing to offer God. You compromise, you are going to be like my mother's lemonade. We used to buy lemonade, pink lemonade, 10 for a dollar at one time. My brother used to drink it out of the gallon, of a half-gallon jug. My mother used to water that lemonade down so that it was no more lemonade than I'm lemonade." She would say, "Well, he'll drink it anyway, and it just goes oh so fast. And it wasn't tasting like lemonade. It was watered lemon essence, I guess." Now that's what they would call it, the essence of lemon. My mother was into the essence of lemon before that even came about, because she had to save the 10 cents, because he would drink it in one sitting. Or it's like one time my uncle was coming home from the service, and my mother made soup, chicken soup. She always did a good job with chicken soup. But there was nothing but water. This chicken had no chicken flavor. This hen, whatever was in the pot, was no more chicken soup than I'm beef stew. Watered down. That's what we've done when we compromise with Christianity. We have watered it down. It doesn't even look like the real thing anymore. My mother's lemonade, my mother's soup, watered down, doesn't have any power, doesn't hurt anybody, doesn't help anybody either. That's sad. Watered down. I don't want to water down the message. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. I believe in the redemption. I believe in the blood. I believe in the power of grace. I believe that he died once and for all. I believe that his sacrifice is perfect. I believe that he wants to reach out to the nations. I believe that he wants to reach out to the people. I believe that he wants to send his Holy Spirit. I believe that God has plans. I believe that he's not finished with us. I believe that there's more in store than we could ever imagine. Even though we are the Christians that have been raised on bonbons, God's going to work through the weakest of the weakest. We are going to do the greatest miracles because we are the greatest wimps. God will show his glory through us because we are the greatest wimps, not because of us, but because of him. Not because we have anything to offer him, but because he cares for people, because he cares for the lost, because he has plans for us, and he has plans for people that he can take and use the wimpest of the wimps and say, you know what, I'm going to confound the world. They've been raised on bonbons, but I'm going to raise them up to do things that no other people have ever done because we are in perilous times. We are in times of peril and deceit. And as I said, Russia would spread her errors. That's where we're living now. Russia is spreading her errors to our great country. That's what it is. And there's nobody warning the people. There's nobody blowing the trumpet. Come on, blow the trumpet now. Blow it now. Get that shofar out and stop blowing it now. Come on. Blow the trumpet now. Warn the people. Warn the people that they've got to start getting on their knees again. That they've got to seek God like they've never sought him before. That there's no... Blow it now. Blow it, yeah. Blow it. We need you to blow it. We need you to blow the trumpet to warn the people. To warn the people. To warn the people. To warn the people that we're not playing. We're not into playing. We're in a warfare. We're in a warfare. We're in a warfare. And the devil has been defeated. But he has deceived people through compromise. He has deceived people through compromise. He has deceived people through compromise. It's time to move. It's time to get the plan from God. It's time to say no more playing around. No more playing footsies with the Lord. No more playing footsies with the Lord. It's time to get what God has for us. It's time to go over our heads. It's time to walk on the water. It's time to get out on a limb. It's not time to play with God anymore. There's no more playing with God anymore. These are the last days. It's time. The salvation of many depends upon us. The salvation of many depends upon us. We cannot be playing. We cannot look back to Egypt. We cannot look back to Haran. Oh, you're not going to take Isaac back to Haran, he said. No, keep him in Canaan. Go get him a wife there. But he's not going back. God called us out of Haran. He called us into Canaan. Time, it's 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 time. And the Lord wants to use you. He wants to use me because these are the last days. These are the last days. And in the salvation of many, depend upon us. We cannot be playing anymore. It is not time to play. It is time to get on our knees. It is time to repent. It is time to rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in his power. Rejoice that he died for us. Rejoice that he rose from the dead. Rejoice that he gives us the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Time to rejoice. Time to rejoice. And it's time to warn the people. Warn the people. We hear in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33 that I call you to be the watchman. To be the watchman, to warn the people. Who's warning the people today? Oh yeah, no one's warning the people. If everything is lovely. Everything is wonderful. Oh, it's all good. Things are good. Things are good. Oh yeah, that's what they said in the days of Noah. The days of Noah. The sun is shining. We're planting our crops. We're marrying our wives. Everything is beautiful in its own way. And then the rains came. Then the rains came. Yeah, the snow, the rain, so whatever happened, I'm going to tell you, everybody got stuck because they weren't ready. They weren't ready. What are you doing there, Noah? Oh, I'm building an ark. We're having a drought. That's right. We're having a drought, but you know what? I'm building an ark. You don't say. You're so stupid. Thank you very much. I consider that a compliment. When the world considers me stupid, I say thank you very much. I don't expect anything from the world anyway. It's only the place to evangelize and bring Christ to the place. I don't expect anything. What am I going to get from the world? You know what I'm saying? What can the world offer me? Once Jesus has already come to me, once the Holy Spirit has come to me, what can the world, a glitter? It all fades away. A Mercedes-Benz? Well, listen, I was coming home from New York one day. As I'm coming home from New York, I'm dressed like a priest, because I am a priest, and I'm walking out, and the lady in the airline said, stop singing. When she saw me, Lord, won't you buy me? That's what she sang. And I turned around and sang, a Mercedes-Benz. And I looked at her, I said, honey, I had one, and it doesn't make you happy. And I walked away. That's real. I've got nothing against Mercedes-Benz, okay? But that's not where I'm gonna plant my star, on a Mercedes-Benz. Oh, yeah, I drove a Mercedes-Benz. I used to have a man that gave me a new car every single year. Isn't that amazing? A new car, and once it was a Mercedes-Benz. People that live in the Paris that don't come, I think they thought that I was tipping the till, stealing from the people. Where did he ever get a Mercedes-Benz? He was just driving a car that was tied up. The hood was tied up. Now he's got a Mercedes-Benz. See, it really doesn't matter what I'm driving, because what I'm driving doesn't make me who I am. As long as it goes from point A to point B, I don't need to be driving anything lovely. Do you know? I'm going to tell you something. Do you know? We talked about seeds last night, that money is seed. Oh, I know that's true. Money is seed. Now that they have the collection, I could talk all about money. You know, it's true. I could talk, because now I'm not going to coerce you to give money, okay? I don't like people coercing me to give money. But I'm going to tell you, money is seed. And the more seed you give out, the more seed you get back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running, turn, and running over into the folds of your garments. Money is seed. It grows. Money grows. Yes, it doesn't grow on trees, but it does grow in faith. You can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. You want to know why? Because God gave us his only son. He gave us everything. So you can't outgive God. And you keep on giving, give and you shall receive. Pressed down, shaken together, running over to the folds of your garment. That's real. I do not give in order to receive. I give because I was given. You understand? I give because I've been given. Everything I have is a gift, so why should I boast? So I keep on giving and giving and giving. And I keep on receiving and receiving and receiving. And I say, Lord, I'm not looking to receive. I'm giving. But if you want to keep on giving, I'll take it. Okay, but you know what? What are you going to do once you keep on receiving? You have to keep on giving. Oh, yeah, keep on giving. Because you see that God multiplies. He doesn't divide. Do you know that? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, God multiplies. He never divides. The devil divides. God multiplies. God's into multiplication. The devil's into division. Look at the churches. Look at the churches. God's into multiplication. Devil's into division. Separation. That's what devil's into. That's what devil's into. You know the prayer of Jesus, the Lord's prayer, that they would be one as I am in thee and thou out of me, that they would be completely one in us, that the world might know that thou hast sent me? Yeah. That's Jesus' last prayer before he died, before he mounted the cross. That was his prayer. And what does the devil do? I'll divide that. They're speaking tongues. They're crazy. They speak in tongues. That's not a real language. They prophesy. They're talking ragtime. They're nothing but fortune tellers. Unless you get baptized the right way, you're not a Christian. No thanks. Please, give me a break. Give me a break. We are the chosen people of God. Everybody else is. We're the best. Don't say! Catholics can't be saved. You don't say, God's not big enough. They're Catholics. Am I right? Protestants can't be saved. They don't have the fullness of faith. Give me a break. God's not big enough? Give me a break. God can do anything he wants to do. We don't follow my rules. We follow his rules. But we're always trying to mess things up. We're always trying to mess things up. When the Lord says, you know what? Just mind your own business. Lord? Yes. Is he going to be around until you come? Talking about John. 21st chapter of John. Simon, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. There was a time you went where you wanted to go, but now they're going to take you where you don't want to go. But what about this one? Mind your own business. That's what he said. Mind your own business about him. You follow me. Stop trying to mind everybody else's business. They're saved. They're not saved. I'm saved. I'm saved once and for all. They're saved and they lose their salvation. Give me a break. Follow me. Follow me. That's what I call you to do. Follow me. You know, we're all so, give me a break. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't start judging other people. People tell me, what about the Hindu person that died? Are they in hell? I said, let me tell you one thing. I didn't have nails in my hands for them, and I didn't have nails in my feet for them. My side was not pierced with the sword. I was not crowned with thorns. I did not absorb the sin of the world. I have no idea if they're saved. Let the one who died on the cross make that judgment. I'm not making that judgment. I'm too small. I don't have the ability. Who do I think I am? The one who died, let him make the judgment. He loves them with a perfect love. I don't know what's going to happen when they close their eyes. I don't know if God's going to show them Jesus. I have no idea. This is beyond me. We know they're in hell. You don't say! Isn't it easy for us to pontificate about the things that we know nothing about? Isn't it easy for us? When Jesus says, mind your own business and follow me. When Jesus says, keep your eyes fixed on me. When Jesus says, you know, you got enough of your own stuff. You don't have to control the world like Obama wants to. I said this last night, I'll say it again. Those people that cannot control their own life want to control the lives of everybody else. That's a law. Since they are out of control, what do they want to do? They want to be the control freaks. They're going to control how you think, how you smell, how you eat, how you pray. Why? They had no control in their own life. So they take control of other people. It's a law. I've seen it. Mr. Obama was raised without a papa, by a grandmother. I don't know how often he saw his mother. He was a child without a real identity. He had no idea where he was going. He was out of control. Now he wants to control the world. He's got the ability to control the world. He bows down to the communists. He tells the people who hit 9/11, we want to make friends with you. You can't make friends with the devil. Okay? You can't do it. You can't make friends with the devil. Yeah, you can at your own expense and at the country's own expense too. But you'll really never be friends. You see, you know, He wants to, you know, everything's going to be nice, nice. Can I just tell you, everything is not nice, nice. Everything is not good. Do you know there is good and evil? Do you know there is light and darkness? Do you know that everybody's not the same? I'm not going to judge them, but I'm not going to cuddle up to people that are into darkness, unless they want to find Jesus Christ, unless they want to come to the cross, unless they want to experience the power of the resurrection. I don't want to play around. I don't want to compromise. So we see a man in the White House who had no control of his own life, now wanting to control everybody. He'll tell you what to eat. He'll tell you what to drink. There was no nativity scene in the White House at Christmas. But you know what? He prayed the services at Ramadan. Isn't that nice? Sad. It's sad. He tells the people, we are not a Christian country. That's what he tells them. Now, I don't know what kind of country we are, but we're certainly not a Muslim country. We have children, you know, in the public school. They're really not public schools. They're government schools, okay? We have children in government schools that are Muslim that at a certain time of the day, they get their little rugs and face Mecca. We can't open the Bible. Isn't that interesting? And nobody makes any noise about it? Who are they to face Mecca when we can't open the Bible and pray the 23rd Psalm? Like, who are they that we give them this special privilege? What's good enough for me is good enough for them. You go to government school, you can't pray here. Amen. Amen. Pick your own schools, go and pray there. If we can't pray, you can't pray either. Oh, but tolerant. That's the new sacrament, tolerant. I just want to be tolerant to everybody. It's all about tolerance. Give me a break. I thought it was all about love. I thought it was all about truth. I thought it was all about reality, not tolerance. Tolerance. No. What is tolerance? You know, you do what you want, I do what I want, and it's all the same. You're the same, and I'm the same, and you call him Allah, and I call him Yahweh, and it's all the same, and we can all get together and sing Kumbaya. And who's warning the people? Nobody. Where's the clarion voices? Blow the trumpet in Zion. The lie is not the truth, and the lie will never be the truth. But there will always be the devil who wants us to compromise. There will always be the devil who wants us to go back to Egypt. There will always be the devil that wants us to go back to Haran rather than to stay in Canaan. There will always be the devil that says, look back. A friend of mine many years ago was completely delivered of drugs. She was in, we'll say, West Virginia with her friends. And what happened is when she was on the plane going back to Boston, they said to her, one thing, do not look back. Do not look back. So she gets on the plane and she's in the seat and this guy is sitting next to her. The plane is in the midair now. And the guy looks at her, doesn't know who she is, says, I have all the drugs that you ever would want. The only thing you need to do is look back. I have all the drugs you ever need. The only thing you need to do is look back. She changed her seat. You see, when God does stuff, the devil's right there too. We just had three young men that were ordained priests. In the sanctuary of the cathedral. The devil was in that sanctuary. He says, I'm going to have a 5-year plan to destroy their lives. I have a 7-year plan to destroy their lives. I have a 10-year plan to destroy their lives. The only thing they have to do is just to compromise and to just love, just want human respect, not the respect of God. I know, you know why? Because the day of my ordination, I experienced Satan so powerfully that he wanted me to take a nervous breakdown. He he knew there was going to be trouble in his minions if I ever existed. And he tried to destroy me on the day that I was ordained. People say it was the happiest day of my life when I was ordained. For me, it was very painful. But I knew there was a price on my head. And I knew that he hated Jesus. And because he couldn't get at Jesus, he could get at me. Compromise is the monetary system of hell. I've never said that before. I'm going to say it again because I want that in my DNA. Compromise is the monetary system of hell. We who have compromised need to repent and turn back and surrender unto the King of Glory. Because there is nothing in Egypt. There is nothing in Haran. And I'm going to ask the people on the radio to read the 24th chapter of Genesis, when Abraham, our father in faith, wants to get a wife for Isaac, and he sends his slave back to Haran, and the slave says, "Shall I take Isaac back to Haran to get a wife?" He says, "No way. You keep him in Canaan. He's not going back where he was called from." We have been called from sin, from death, from hell, and there's no turning back. If you have turned back, it's time for you to turn around and turn to him who is life, who is God, who is Christ, crucified and raised from the dead. There is no turning back. There is nothing in Egypt and less in Haran. There is only something in Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, no one else, no one else. And if you have watered down your experience and your faith life, it's time to get on your knees and repent and say, "God, have mercy on me," because the salvation of many will depend upon you. Because we are in a time of turmoil and a time of confusion, and only Jesus and the cross is going to make any headway. And you are either part of the problem or part of the solution. Hear the word of the Lord. You are either part of the problem or part of the solution.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.